UAB Medcast is an ongoing medical education podcast. The UAB Division of Continuing Education designates that each episode of this enduring material is worth a maximum of 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credit. To collect credit, please visit uabmedicine.org/medcast and complete the episode's post-test.
Welcome to UAB Medcast, a continuing education podcast for medical professionals. Bringing knowledge to your world, here's Melanie Cole.
In the past two decades, vertebroplasty and kyphoplasty have emerged as surgical options that play a central role in the treatment of vertebral compression fractures. My guest today is Dr. Edgar Underwood. He's a vascular interventional radiologist at UAB Medicine. Welcome to the show. Dr. Underwood, explain a little bit about vertebral fractures. What used to be the treatment? And because it might have been mostly in the elderly, what were some of the limiting factors?
Vertebral compression fractures, extremely common, close to a million a year in the U.S., and are usually in older patients with osteoporosis. Younger patients will have them that otherwise have abnormal bones, such as people with tumors in the bone that will weaken the bone and cause them to collapse. The concept of treatment has evolved over time. The traditional treatments have been immobilization of the fractured area, either by bed rest or by back bracing. In roughly 1987, I want to say, a man named Derrimond, interventional radiologist in France, treated a benign tumor of the vertebra using the concept that we now call vertebroplasty. He used x-rays to guide a needle into the fractured bone, and through the needle he was able to place what we call a bone cement or bone glue. And after he placed this substance in the diseased vertebra, the patient was relieved of pain. And this idea of treating vertebral compression fractures evolved from his treatment of a benign tumor of the spine.
So what patients are likely to benefit from vertebroplasty or kyphoplasty?
Now, the most common patients that will benefit from this procedure are people with osteoporotic compression fractures. These are frequently occur with relatively minor trauma in someone with soft bone. And the earlier these are treated, the better the result. Also, a large part of my practice now is involving painful tumors of the bone that weaken the bone such that they fracture, and it is also very effective for tumor involvement of vertebral bodies.
Doctor, you mentioned that the earlier it's treated, the better the outcome. So if they're in the phase of osteopenia, maybe not full-on osteoporosis, when is early? When is it to the point where you say, you know what, we can look to this as a treatment?
Whenever there is a painful fracture, I think the closer to the fracture that they are treated, the better the outcome. That is not to say that if someone has had whatever state their bone is in, osteopenia, if it's a painful compression fracture, they would still be a candidate. And the closer you place the treatment to the time of the fracture, I believe the better the outcome. However, that is not to say if someone fractured the vertebra 6 months ago and they're continuing to have pain, and an MRI scan or a bone scan shows that the fracture has not healed, these patients can also benefit.
So speak about some of the technical aspects and the principal concerns when performing a vertebroplasty or kyphoplasty.
The technical aspects, let me roughly outline the procedure. It can either be done with general anesthesia, or many of the patients I treat are not good candidates for general anesthesia, so it could be successfully done with conscious sedation and liberal local anesthetic application. The skin is numbed, the bone is numbed with the local anesthetic, and then the needle is introduced under X-ray guidance into the fractured vertebra, and then under continuous X-ray observation, the cement is placed through the needle into the fracture, and it kind of acts like glue and glues the fractured fragments together so they no longer move, and that is one of the mechanisms that we believe is responsible for the pain relief that is associated with this. It depends on, it is a safe procedure if done carefully and with good X-ray guidance. Most of the complications from this, I believe, have occurred when the X-ray guidance was suboptimal. Because it's critical to be able to see what you're doing with a good X-ray apparatus.
Do you see that after someone's undergone this procedure, there's a little bit of a height restoration? Do you speak to your patients about
that?
Well,
this is interesting. In my hands, I do not see a lot of height restoration. Some people have reported that they do get it. I personally, over the past 20 years, have not seen what I thought was a lot of height restoration. And I believe the most critical thing is the stabilization of the fracture that gives the pain relief more so than height restoration.
So do you have some criteria that you've used for determining the efficacy of this procedure and the reduction of pain or the increase of patient function? What have you seen?
Well, that is kind of the what we're all about, is to make sure that it does make people better. And it does. I would say 80 to 90% of the patients get significant pain relief such that their need for pain medications markedly decreases and their mobility markedly increases. And there were several years ago, there were two articles that were published to try to show that the procedure was not valid. But since then, these articles have been refuted in most practitioners' minds. There was an article that came out that with over 20,000 Medicare patients who received the procedure, and they not only looked at pain relief, but actually at longevity. And the people who received the kyphoplasty or vertebroplasty lived longer. My explanation for this is that there's about a two-hour recovery on the procedure, and then the patient can get up and resume their normal activities. And since they usually have less pain, they move around more and are not subject to the hazards of immobility. And the conservative treatment for compression fractures frequently involved a lot of bed rest and decreased activity levels. So I believe restoring people to their normal activities quicker probably is what promoted the longevity.
Do you have a preference for one over the other?
No. It's kind of a tailor-made thing. Occasionally, I think and I didn't define this. Vertebroplasty is going in through what we call the pedicle of the vertebra into the vertebral body and placing the methacrylate, the bone cement, into the fractured vertebra. The kyphoplasty concept is you place a balloon into the fractured vertebral body, blow up the balloon to create a space and to try to restore height, and then place the cement in. I think I am moving more and more towards a hybrid procedure that combines elements of both, where going into the vertebral body, I sometimes don't place the balloon, but there's a device I can use to create multiple channels through the bone for which the cement to flow, and then place the cement in. And I think I get good distribution throughout the vertebral body, and the, if you will, fingers or channels that the cement goes through, in my opinion, acts like struts in the vertebral body, and I think that may be, from an engineering point of view, a little stronger fix. But that's just my opinion at this time. But certainly it seems to work at least equally as well as the balloon or just placing the cement.
So where do you see this going from here? Give us a little blueprint for future research in these vertebral compression fractures.
Well, where we are now, where we are now is this. We are now combining this procedure in patients that have cancerous involvement of the bone. We're going in with the needle we would use to place the cement in, the kyphoplasty needle we would use to place the cement in. And then through that, we can place a what's called a radio frequency ablation probe and essentially ablate or kill the tumor in the bone prior to placing the cement. And so that is where we are a new area that we're using. And I say new, probably 20 years ago, I was doing this, but we didn't have dedicated devices for it. We were kind of having to mix and match one person's cannula to get in the bone or needle to get in the bone and someone else company's ablation device. Sometimes it didn't quite fit, et cetera. So the concept, we've been doing this for, I guess, 20 years, but now there's a dedicated device where the cannula or the needle we used to get in the bone is well suited for the ablation device. And so comes in one package, and this has made it much more convenient. And I think this is the wave of the future. And it, we can use this too sometimes outside of the spine, such as in the sacrum or even in the hip area for cancerous involvement of bone. So I think this concept of destroying tumor with heat and then reinforcing the area of the bone where we've destroyed the tumor so it doesn't collapse with the cement is where we're going.
So in summary, doctor, tell other physicians what you'd like them to know about vertebral fractures, osteoporosis, and when to refer to a specialist.
I would say, let's put it like this. When I was the only person in Alabama doing some of these, I was very cautious because we were very early in the experience, and so I was somewhat stingy as to who I would offer it to, and I would always wait 6 weeks after the fracture before I would treat to see if they got better on their own. But now, over time, realizing it is a very safe procedure if done correctly, I wouldn't wait 5 minutes. If it was a relative of mine who had a painful vertebral compression fracture, I would recommend it because they get up and about and are able to mobilize quicker and have a better quality of life much sooner than with traditional conservative therapy. So now, any person with a painful compression fracture, I think, needs to be treated.
What a great segment. Thank you so much, Dr. Underwood, for being with us today and for sharing all of your great insight. A community physician can refer a patient to UAB Medicine by calling the MIST line at 1-800-UAB-MIST. That's 1-800-822-6478. You're listening to UAB Medcast. For more information on resources available at UAB Medicine, you can go to uabmedicine.org/physician. That's uabmedicine.org/physician. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.